The title of my series, we're going to start a new series called Empowered. Power is something that a lot of people are interested in. Some want power so that they can have power over people. Some want power so that they can have the power of God in them to overcome the sin in their own life, but also to have power in their life so they can be witnesses. If you'll have your Bibles, turn to the book of John this evening, John chapter 14. It's a great, great scripture verse, and I just challenge you, the whole chapter of John chapter 14 is just a great chapter. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Several years back, I would gallop race horses at Hot Springs, Arkansas, at Oaklawn Horse Racetrack. And those race horses, they'll run off with you. You just got to tuck their head in, and if you let those reins slip that far, that horse will just run off. It's crazy the power these horses have. It was kind of a rainy morning, and this horse, his name was What's the Word. I still remember his name because he run off with me. And he was running around there, and he'd come around to there's outriders there that whenever the horse runs off, they're supposed to help you. Anybody ever need help and you didn't get it, but you needed it? And they said, my brother was standing there, and they hollered at me. They said, do you need help? And I said, yeah. And they just stood there. And my brother said, he said, yeah, he needed help. And they said, no, he said, nah, he don't need no help. Hey, I want you to know something tonight. If you need help, yell it out. Help, I need help. You have not because you ask not. You need some help? Yeah, I need a little help. What do you say? I don't know. Be clear, if you need help, don't let pride keep you from asking to get help. And I dare say anybody that come to church on Monday night needs more help. That's why we come to church, because we need help. We have what we call job security, because everybody needs help. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16. If, everybody say if. It's a little word, but it means a lot. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking. I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another helper that he may abide, that the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. First of all, I want us all to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. A lot of Christians, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they say, it does this or it does that. He is not an it. He is a person. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we should talk about him as a person. And when we pray to the Holy Spirit, we pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life and everything. Pray to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. It's important, the Holy Spirit. It's easy for us to speak to the Father as a person, or about Jesus as a person, but it's important also that we speak about the Holy Spirit as an individual. You remember when Jesus was baptized, he said, in Matthew 28, first of all, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says the name, it's not a plural, because the Godhead is three distinct individuals in one person, in one Godhead. Three different persons in one Godhead. When Darla and I got married, at the end of the ceremony, the preacher said, I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Randy Weaver. They didn't say Randy Weavers. Because the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. In other words, our government looks at a married couple as an individual. And God is saying whenever, and you can think about the Godhead like this, a perfect relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that they speak with one voice and they always agree with each other. We as married people should get a good lesson from that. It's not about our opinion in a marriage, but it's about what God's word says about our marriage. Did you know that we all have opinions, but God has the Spirit of truth who will teach you all things? And it's not about me getting my way in my marriage or Darla getting her way. It's about God getting his way. Because that's what works, the Spirit of truth. God the Father, God the Son, they always agree. And remember that. Holy Spirit is not just some influence or abstract or imperceptible emanation or some stream flowing from the Father. He is much an actual person as the Father and the Son. In Luke chapter 3:22, Jesus, you remember, he was standing in the Jordan River and he was immersed in the water. The Bible says he went down into the water and came up out of the water. That's the reason we immerse people here in baptism, is because that's the way that Jesus was baptized. And we feel that if he did it that way, we should do it that way. He said he went down because he talked about us being buried with Christ, and symbolic of us dying out to our own selves and our own will and coming up in the newness of life. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to us and it says he will be with us always. But the baptism in water is something that is separate from conversion, but there's also a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Paul went to Cornelius' house and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And what he's talking about, he wasn't talking about having the Holy Spirit, because when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, actually what happens is the Holy Spirit lives in you. At conversion, the Holy Spirit takes residence in you. But there's another gift of the Holy Spirit that comes through the baptism in the Holy Spirit that is subsequent, or it follows conversion. God the Holy Spirit has manifested himself. When Jesus was baptized, it says that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and sat on Jesus' shoulder, and the voice came from heaven. The Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we have the voice of the Father, we have the Son being baptized, and we have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove being sitting on the shoulder of Jesus. It's a great example of the three distinct individuals. You remember in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says that they were all in one place and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, when you get on a horse, if you can get a hold of that horse's head and that horse will give in to you and he will do what you ask him to do, you can move his whole body. But if you can't have his head, you can't have the rest of him. And I always wondered why God chose to baptize them in other tongues, as it says. I'm like, because a lot of people are like, man, I don't understand that. That makes me a little uncomfortable. Did you know God doesn't care if you're comfortable or not? It doesn't matter. He's like, well, who cares? He didn't say, I came to make you comfortable. No, he said, take up your cross and follow me. So he says, he said they were baptized with other tongues. As the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, they all began to speak with other tongues. In other words, God gave them their specific prayer language. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, and then it's sandwiched in between in chapter 13 with the love chapter. Anything the Holy Spirit does is all about love, and he does it for the edification, first of all, of us. When we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says that we pray in a language that only God understands. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had to pray something in about something in your life, and it's like, man, I don't even know what to say. You can pray in your prayer language, and the Bible says that that prayer goes to the Father, because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in God's perfect will about the situation that you need help in. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to help you. We all need a little more help. And he said, I'll do this for you. I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the edification of the church, when it talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where you have the message in tongues and the interpretation of the message in tongues. You have the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith. All of the gifts that God has for the church is so that we can operate in a way where we overcome, first of all, the sin in our own lives, but also we can be witnesses. The reason that God gave us power is not so we can hoard the power, but so that we can use God's power to be witnesses. I don't know if you've looked around this evening or not, but we've got a few empty chairs here. That bothers me. I said, that bothers me. We got the best kept secret in Montgomery County. Why do we have empty seats? You know what? We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. So it says, you will be witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We need to be getting out and beating the bushes, not for people that already go to some other church. The woods are full of people who need Jesus, and he trusts us to use the power that he put in us to reach the lost for him. Amen. We need to do that. So I'm just going to challenge y'all. Like next Monday night, like if everybody would bring one person, we'd probably fill the place up. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? But that's the reason that God gave us the Holy Spirit. I get excited about this stuff. The Holy Spirit is a Trinity, and I talked about that a little bit. He said, that is the Son, Jesus talking, will ask the Father, and he will give you, the Father will give you another helper. I don't know anybody that doesn't need more help. Heard a story about there was a guy, he was just driving down the road, and there was a lady behind him, and she was very impatient, and she wanted him to get around. She wanted to get around him, and she was honking her horn at him, trying to get him to move over. And the light turned yellow, and he stopped at the crosswalk. And it just really infuriated this lady that he didn't run through that yellow light. And she's hollering, and the officer comes up right behind her, and he walks up there, and he taps on the window. She's like, and he said, would you please get out of your vehicle? And so she got out. He winds up taking her downtown. Keeps her there, get your fingerprint and everything, and she's there for a couple hours. And then he goes, he lets her come out front, and he says, I'm very sorry for the mistake. But he said, when I pulled up behind your car, you were blowing your horn, you were flipping that guy off in front of you, and you was cussing a blue streak at him. And I noticed that on your license plate holder, you had Choose Life. And then you had a bumper sticker that said, what would Jesus do? And then you had a Follow Me to Sunday School sticker. And then you had a beautiful chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on your trunk. And naturally, I thought you stole the car. You know, there really should be something different about us. If we're going to claim that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be full of something else. You with me? We need to exhibit the love of God in us, because if we don't reach our world, our individual world for Christ, probably nobody else will. Now, you may wind up going to Laos as a missionary if God calls you to do that. But I would say to you that you will never be a missionary somewhere else till you learn to be a missionary where you're at. God has always been about unity, the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and honoring. This is good stuff. The Holy Spirit abides in all believers. I want to make this very clear this evening. The scripture says, it says, He abides with you and will be in you. He abides. In other words, He stays with you. The Bible says that your body is a temple. You are the, God doesn't stay here whenever we all leave. He trusts you to take care of your temple. And He believes in you enough to reside in you. And He said, I will be with you always. So my challenge is take Him with you. And be careful where you go, because He's always going to be there with you. Amen. So there's a story about a guy in the Old West, and they were trying him for stealing a horse. And the problem was that the guy that he stole the horse from was a grumpy old guy. He had swindled people out of things, and nobody in the town liked him at all, but they kind of liked the guy that took the horse. So they have this the court proceeding, and they get through the court, and the judge dismisses the jury for the verdict. And after a while, the jury comes back, and the judge asks him, have you reached a verdict? And the foreman of the jury says, yes, we have. He said, well, what's the verdict? And the foreman said, well, we find the defendant not guilty, but he needs to give the horse back. So the judge, he's kind of mad about it. He says, no, this verdict is unacceptable. I want you to go back and deliberate. So they're gone about 3 more hours, and they come back, and the judge asks him, have you reached a verdict? And the foreman says, yes, sir, we've reached a verdict. So, well, what's your verdict? He said, we find the defendant not guilty, and he can keep the horse. Isn't that what Jesus did with us? We deserve to be hanged, because there is no one that is righteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't deserve this. What you feel tonight, what I felt tonight, as we've worshiped in the presence of God, we don't deserve this, but God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need, and we need to be in His presence. We need the Holy Spirit. We got to have some help. Got to have some help. And the least we can do is reach, teach, and disciple the wise who will seek Him. Go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. He doesn't say to build a church and expect them to show up. He doesn't say that. They're going to come. No, He said, go out there, round them up, and bring them in. That's why we have Cowboy Church. Round them up. God is for us in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And then it says these words, listen to these last words. You are not your own. In other words, you don't make decisions for yourself anymore. You have been declared a servant of the Most High God, and God will ask you to do something when he chooses for you to do something. I'm reading in my devotions about Job and how he went through all the problems that he went through. But the Bible says in all of these things, he didn't sin. And we can go through a lot of problems and a lot of issues in life. But I want to say to you this evening that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. God, the Holy Spirit, is on your side, and he will help you in and through anything that comes your way because he is a miraculous working God, and we believe in miracles around here. We still believe that God will work miracles, that he will heal people, that he will deliver them from sin, that he will help them to live an overcoming Christian life. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is there to empower each and every born again Christian that breathes the name of Jesus Christ. God, help us as a church to rise up. Body's a temple. The Holy Spirit is real. So thankful for that. I'm gonna wind this down. I've been sick. I've been real sick. Like last week, I was like, God, take me home. I'm done with all this. Just take me home. I can't do it no more. And Darla's like, yeah, please, take him home. I'm not a good patient. I'm like, I'm a whiner. And I'm proud of it. I'm just like, a lot of people, they're like, man, just leave me alone. I want to be by myself. I don't want to be by myself. I want everybody helping me. I need help. So I watched a lot of TV. I watch so much TV, I'm sick of TV. And I watched the Olympics. And I watched the opening ceremony. Some of y'all might have seen him, but there was this crazy guy out there. And y'all know who I'm talking about. He's the guy that had no shirt on when it was 5 degrees. He waving his flag. Any women see that guy? Oh, yeah. He's hot. No, he's not hot. He's cold. He didn't have a shirt on. He cold. You girls, they just like, he was in pretty good shape, but I think it's interesting when the weatherman gets on there and he says it's 50 degrees, but it feels like 38 degrees. Oh, it's colder than I thought it was. Y'all with me? And then when it gets hot, we have the heat index. Well, it's 90 degrees, but it feels like it's 105. Oh, it's really hot then, I guess. I'm sick and tired of people telling me how to feel. I'm going to tell you something. We as Christians had good and well better stop listening to people, even some Christians, whining about the weather, whining about their walk with God, listen, you're blessed to be in the presence of God. You're blessed. You get to go to heaven. You are adopted into the family of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Listen, we gotta overcome. If we don't bear the name of Jesus high as Christians, nobody's gonna do it. Somebody in this community needs to stand up, and it needs to be the church.
Amen.
God, help us. You say, well, I'm not a very good Christian. Well, join the crowd. You don't have to be a perfect person to invite somebody to church or to tell them about Jesus. Just tell them what Christ did for you in your life. The enemy wants to lie to you and he wants to shut you up. Listen, speak up. And that's the reason I believe God gave us our prayer language so we can speak up. He wants to have our tongue so we can speak English and we can pray in the Spirit as well. God help us as a church. Because I'm going to tell you what, I've never been one to leave a gift under the tree at Christmas time. I'm like, well, I don't think I'll open that one. I'm opening them all. And God said the best gift that he has for us is the gift that we need at the particular time that we need the gift. See, God knows what we need so much better than we know what we need. He knows us so well. So I just want to challenge you today. Stop listening to people and allow, and maybe you might have heard or grew up in a church that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't believe in the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Just forget all that stuff. Because the Bible says, you say, well, there's a scripture in there that says that tongues will cease. Let me tell you what it says. It says tongues will cease when that which is perfect has come.
Amen.
When Jesus comes back, that which is perfect comes back. We won't need knowledge anymore. We won't need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But until that happens, we need all the help we can get.
Amen.
I'm through preaching.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings and for your patience with us, oh God. Holy Spirit, you are such a blessing to this church. You are such a blessing to each and every individual that names the name of Jesus, that believes that you were there at creation time when the Father said, let us create man in our own image. Lord Elohim, we thank you, our God and our Savior, that you are with us, that you said you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, that Jesus, you said that you would send a comforter, and then you said greater things shall we do because you are praying on our behalf and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. What a privilege. Lord God, we know that you have everything figured out. Help us, Lord, to give us insight and to maybe even for everybody here tonight, maybe somebody's watching online to have a paradigm shift in their thinking about who you are, God, and the miracle working God that we serve, that the gift of faith would rise up inside of us and that we would believe you for every word that is true in the Word of God and every word that you have spoken to each and every one of us as individuals about your specific plan for our lives. Lord, help us to rise up and to be filled with you, Holy Spirit, oh God. We understand that we don't deserve this, oh God, but that you don't give us what we deserve. You give us what we need. For that, we're thankful. We just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This evening, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But he also said that if we confess our sin, that he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this evening, if you've never accepted him as your Savior, but you'd like to do that simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I don't want to wonder anymore about whether I'm going to heaven or not. Yep, thank you. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in your hand. Thank you. Anybody else, preacher? That's me. I'm serious about serving God. I don't want to play games with God anymore. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me, sir? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? I'd be honored if I could pray with you. Come on, buddy. I'd be honored. Come on. It's okay. I don't want to embarrass you, but it'll be good for you. Come on. Come on. Let me pray with you. Praise the Lord. It's good. It's a good day. Amen. You know, I always think about when Jesus walked up through the city of Jerusalem when he carried the cross. That was a long old haul for him. Sometimes it's hard to walk up in the front, but I want you to know we've all done this. We've all just said we got to have help, and I'm thankful for it. Come on, buddy. Come on, I want to pray with you. I'm so proud of you. Giving it up, baby. Put it right there. Giving it up. That's Jesus inside of you right there. It's worth it all. So proud of you. It's a good day. Let me hug you. I love you. It's a good day. Listen, it's worth it. This is worth it. Let me help you pray. The Bible says if we believe in our heart that God's raised you from the dead, we confess with our mouth that we'll be saved. All you got to do right now, tell me your name.
Doug.
Doug, all you got to do is believe in your heart. And I'm going to help you pray. I'm going to help you invite Christ to come into your life and get things right, okay? Can we do that? Just repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name. Here, I want to pray with you over here. Let's just kneel down at the altar for a second. Y'all stand with me. We got this. This is where stuff happens here. Just kneel down with me here, Doug. I just want you to talk to the Lord for just a second. Just let him know how much you love him, how much you care for him. I'm going to invite everybody else to come down and pray too. I just want to invite y'all to come down and pray, and we don't need to do anything else. I just want to challenge you. How many want everything the Holy Spirit has for you? Raise your hand. You want everything the Holy Spirit has for you? Raise your other hand. Let me pray for you. Lord, bless your people, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have everything that you have for us, Lord. Lord, to give up the inhibitions that come from wrong thinking and wrong teaching, oh God. Give us your wisdom and your heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite y'all to come. Let's come and spend some time praying this evening. And if you feel you must go, you can consider yourselves dismissed. We sure do love y'all. God bless you.